Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your homeschool companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to talk to an author later on in the show named Julie Bogart, and she wrote a book called The Brave Learner. And you are going to enjoy our talk with her. But before that, I love to spend some time in the Word, the Bible, God's holy Word. Today's devotion I've titled The Sweetest of the Sweet. And I'm reading from Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. The welcoming parlors of the South are its tidy porches and sweeping verandas, complete with fans, ferns, and white wicker furniture. And no one can deny that sipping the thirst-quenching goodness of a sweet tea on a lazy summer day is pert near heavenly. But sometimes in the devilish heat, the desire to gossip or spill the tea to a friend or two creeps in, and mainly a godly woman shares what shouldn't be spoken. Often the gossip is disguised as a call to pray. We really need to pray for so-and-so. I heard she did this or that. Scripture instructs us to keep our tongues from evil and our lips from telling lies. That's in Psalms 34:13. The next time you find yourself tempted to spill the tea, smile and take a sip of your sweet tea instead. And here's our faith check. A wise Southern woman once said, "It's always best to stop and taste your words before you let them pass through your teeth." And I don't know if you're like me, but there's many times I've just kicked myself all the way home from a gathering because I spilled the tea. And we have our Billy Graham quote today. A real Christian is one who can give his pet parrot to the town gossip. And of course, that's taken from that old story, if you'll remember, where the thieves stole a parrot and the parrot actually had the gospel memorized and brought these thieves to Jesus through the parrot. Well, it can work the other way around too if you're using inappropriate language and talking about others. Well, if you have a parrot around, they can remember those words too. So my mom always said, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. So that's a good thing to remember. Now, let's have a little prayer time because we need the Holy Spirit here with our words. We need God's blessing on our show today. So if you'll bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I lift up this show that our words that we speak will be to your honor and glory. And we have many prayer requests, Lord. We're praying for a family who has a young son. He's in the sixth grade now, and they're praying for healing from epilepsy. And we're praying for another family that is experiencing some hard financial challenges, and they've lost their business, and now their house is about to be foreclosed, and I just pray for them. And Lord, I lift up to you a woman who is suffering from an autoimmune disease, that you will send your healing hand upon her. And I pray for our president and for the corporations that are really, the nonprofit corporations that are really trying to do a good job with giving to those that need help. And I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you for saving our souls and for coming again soon. All this I pray, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. time. What's on the bracket for art today? Well, we're going to talk about magnetic slime, and everything I talk about is something that I've currently done or in the process of doing. For magnetic slime, you really need to order. I ordered the filings, which you can do it with the filings, but they're bigger, and when the kids are working the slime, they can scratch. Now, if you order the powder, you need to make sure that the children don't breathe that powder. So it's a toss-up. They both have a little bit of a downside. So I chose to do the iron filings. They're pretty inexpensive. You can order them at Amazon, or you can go to your craft store and get them. The neat thing about it is if you're doing a unit on magnets, you can use that to show the polarization of the magnets. So we were killing two birds with one stone. Magnetic slime, I used borax. I mixed it up ahead of time and had my own activator, so to speak. But each student was able to make their own batch with a fourth of a cup of glue, a fourth a cup of the activator, and coloring that they like, and some iron filings. Very simple, very fun, and you can go to my Pinterest. My Pinterest, it's an old account that's been there for a long time, so it's with an old email, but it is pinterest.com/mrgamblin2, and I put it on the Steam, on my Steam board. Ideas for steam. So you can go there or you can just Google it. It's everywhere. Magnetic slime is really cool. And I hope you have fun making it. About curriculum. Well, the curriculum topic I'm going to talk about today is Bible. And if you go to a church that has a good children's curriculum, I would recommend that you just use that, expand that, use the materials that are sent home to study, follow the Bible verse that they need to memorize. Some of the things that I like to do, I love to use the Bible as the textbook in Bible curriculum. I think that's very cool. I like, and I'll find that my students love reading in the scriptures. So the first thing we do is just learn about the Bible itself, how it's organized. We learn about the Old Testament and the New Testament and how to find the different books. And then we play games with trying to find Ruth, trying to find Psalms. And we just work until they get quite fluid at being able to quickly go from one book to the next. And then we work on the chapters, Psalms 100. Who can find Psalms 100? Who can find Ruth chapter 2 and how the chapters work? And so you can use any version of the Bible when you're doing this. Then we start doing the verses. I mean, you get the picture of that. Each week we memorize. We memorize a verse. And you can just start at the beginning of the Bible and just work through it. There's so many good stories in the Bible. Or you can purchase one. And the one that I like that is a commercial one is called The Heart of Dakota. The Heart of Dakota. An interesting name, but it's actually put out by that publishing company. The Heart of Dakota is a publishing company, and the author is Carrie Austin. The Heart of Dakota is comprehensive, and it's a Charlotte Mason-oriented curriculum. If you know anything about Charlotte Mason, it's very hands-on, you know, differentiated is built into it, differentiated instruction. This curriculum is in 12 volumes and can be used from preschool through high school. Now, when I mention some of these curriculum products, I hope you realize that you can go and look for them on eBay or marketplace and see if you can find used ones that have been, you know, that other homeschooling families or private schools have used. So that being said, just remember The Heart of Dakota, spelled like North Dakota or South Dakota, Dakota Publishing, has developed this. Many of The courses can be extended to cover older students because there's additional resources. So that being said, like it's broken down, Little Hands of Heaven, ages 2 to 5, Little Hearts for His Glory, 5 to 7, Beyond Little Hearts for His Glory, ages 6 to 8, Bigger Hearts for His Glory, ages 7 to 9, and with extended pages for ages 10 to 11, and Preparing His Hearts for Glory, ages 8 to 10, extending ages 11 to 12. Anyway, you get the idea of how you can adapt this, getting one book a year for your students. It goes all the way through high school, ages 16 to 18. Each volume is 1 year curriculum. So it's divided into 33 to 35 units. You do one a week, it's very concrete sequential, so you can easily follow it. And then you know what your children are being exposed to. It's a Protestant point of view. And it's divided like this. Every volume has daily lesson plan in two parts, learning the basics and learning through history. So you can even incorporate or integrate, we say in teacheries, history into this Bible curriculum, which I think is a neat thing too. And all the subject areas have tracks, have audio tracks. So you can assign it and you're not having to do all the lecturing or all the reading. So that's pretty cool too. And now we come to the place in our show where I'd like to introduce the second half. Parents want their children to be academically successful and to be happy. And how do you get those two things to go together? How do parents nurture and love their children amid all this chaos, all this media, even parental self-doubt, the flu, the state of academic standards? Well, the author, Julie Bogart, of the book The Brave Learner, tackles all these issues with a lot of humor and a lot of help. You're going to learn about the 12 superpowers of learning and how to create a cozy home designed to withstand the act of learning, and how your adult learning journey fuels your homeschooling. Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Julie Bogart. And she is a popular voice of common sense and compassion for home educators, parents, traditional educators, online coaching community, the Homeschool Alliance, and her podcast and her YouTube channel have been lifelines for tens of thousands of weary homeschool educators all over the world. She's the creator of the award-winning innovative online writing program called Brave Writer. And I'm going to ask you a little bit about that just in a minute. She has educated her 5 children at home, and they're now lifelong learners, globetrotting all over the world. Today, Julie lives in Cincinnati, Ohio, and can be found sipping a cup of tea, planning her next visit to one of her lifelong learning kids. Welcome to the show, Julie, and just tell us a little bit about The Brave Writer.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. So Brave Writer is the company that I built starting in January 2000 that addressed a common concern homeschooling parents had. There was a ton of writing curricula on the market. I mean, you could find it, available at conventions and online and in homeschool communities. But universally, parents explained that even though the curriculum told them what to do, what kinds of writing they should be doing, what the assignments ought to include, they often still found the writing process cranky. Kids who were resistant or had writer's block or said that the pencil hurt their hands or would only write 2 or 3 insipid sentences after they had been so verbally fluent moments before. So I come from a professional writing background. My mother has authored 70 books. She has been in that field for my entire life. And so I grew up with the tools of professional writing, which was a really powerful way for me to learn to be a writer myself. So what happened is once I had my own kids and I was hanging out with other homeschooling families, people sought me out. I worked as a professional freelance writer and ghostwriter and magazine editor, and I was able to give my kids a kind of education in writing that a lot of families did not have available to them. So I put those materials together and I built curriculum and online classes that are meant to facilitate parents in that experience.
That is so cool. I mean, I know of so many young people who like the glamour of becoming a published author, but they don't have the self-discipline or the tools to actually make it happen. And this is a way that they could make it happen. Well, let's get back on what we're really here today to talk about, and that is your book, The Brave Learner. And if you want to learn more, you can check this website out right now, thebravelearner.com, or you can go to bravewriter.com. Both of those are Julie's websites. So how many years did you homeschool altogether?
So I had 5 children that I homeschooled full-time for 17 years. Then I had some kids who did a little bit of part-time enrollment at the local high school. And my youngest children did high school at the local high school. One did 2 years, one did 3 years, one did 4 years. So we spent 17 years. My oldest 2 kids were homeschooled all the way through. And that was my experience with them.
So you had 5 children?
Very independent, globe-trotting people. I have a daughter who lives in Mexico and is a life coach. I have a son who is a human rights lawyer and works in Thailand. I have another son who works with a foundation in Miami, Florida, and a daughter who works in San Diego, California for a startup there. So they live all over the place, but my oldest, fortunately, lives in Cincinnati, and I like to tell him that he gets favorite child points forever because of that decision.
So if you had it to do all over again, would you still choose to homeschool?
Oh my, it is literally the one decision that I have made that I've never regretted, not for a second. My memories of homeschooling are more precious to me each passing year, and my children routinely tell me that their experience of being homeschooled laid a foundation for their own understanding of how to grow, how to learn, how to have the lives that they believe are important to them. So yeah, I think we would all choose it again.
Yes, and I think it, of course, I wouldn't be spending so much of my life doing radio shows on the topic of homeschool if I didn't think it was the most ideal form of education. I know, I understand that not all parents can do it, but if you can do it, it is the most ideal school. Now, I want to really delve into your book, The Brave Learner, Finding Everyday Magic in Homeschool Learning and Life. And this is not just a book for homeschooling families. This is a book for any family. So in your introduction, you stated, seeing your mind's eye, an eager face, excited to share writing with you, see another face enjoying the effort it takes to master an algebraic equation, pretend it's the end of the school year, you and your children share happy memories about all the fun learning experiences you've had and all the time that you've had together, and you've just loved it. Now, wouldn't that be great? So was that your experience?
So, of course, like any human being, we have our ideals and then we have the reality that we live. And I would say that on balance, homeschooling in our family was deeply satisfying if we look at it on the whole, correct? Mm-hmm. That does not mean that there weren't day-to-day frustrations or times where I was mystified or frustrated by a particular challenge. For example, my youngest daughter, my 5th child, after I had successfully taught 4 kids to read, did not break through in reading until she was almost 10 years old. There were moments between the age of 5 and 10 when she so desperately wanted to read, and we kept running into the brick wall of her inability, that I felt desperate. There were times when I made the mistake of, you know, blaming her for not trying hard enough, or I would shop for more curriculum. But it was through those challenges that I started to identify the properties of what causes learning to occur. So it's not about just rigor, discipline, doing education to our children. It's really becoming a detective, getting to know your children as they are in their peculiarity and their particularity, and then meeting them as a collaborator, helping them succeed, not simply leaving them on an island and expecting them to figure it out and being disappointed when they don't. So for me, part of the journey of raising my children was discovering these foundational forces that lead to the ability to retain the information your parent is teaching or your teacher is teaching.
You know, I just love that. I teach in a school where my students have me through many grades because I'm in a small church school. And I make it my study to learn how they learn, to learn what makes them tick, so to speak. And I feel very happy if we do come to the end of the school year and they're sad that the school year is over and they're remembering all of the fun things we had. I mean, sometimes it was an experiment that went awry or, you know, being outside and falling in the mud or something like that. But it still adds to the overall, the whole child. We want to educate the whole child.
Oh, 100%. And in fact, what's so awesome is that the brain research backs that up. I was listening to a podcast recently by an educator for teachers where she was talking about the fact that too often in the classroom, kids aren't doing anything more than information in, information out. Mm-hmm. So they're listening to a lecture, they're writing down the PowerPoint notes, they're studying and taking a test. And this educator was explaining to teachers that it's important for kids to actually use their bodies, interact and collaborate, experience novelty attached to the learning. And I thought, well, hello, that's what my whole book is about. I talk about four forces of enchantment: surprise, mystery, risk, and adventure, and how these properties actually drive the learning experience home. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever done one of those math problems where you keep adding and subtracting numbers and it always winds up 7? It's almost like a magic trick. Those kinds of experiences with learning where you surprise your children, startle them into a relationship with the subject, starts that journey towards mastery. With my daughter who struggled with reading, one of the things I discovered is that if I jotted down her little bursts of storytelling or ideas or thoughts she had about her life, if I jotted those down and read them back to her, she could start to see the value of reading, and she could also experience herself as somebody whose words were important enough to record. So what ends up happening is there was this dialogue between the written word and her internal self, which eventually translated both into reading and writing. But that was a startling experience. The first time I wrote down her words and could read them back 2 days later, she was astonished. You mean there is some magic going on with those scribbles on the page, and they represent a core identity piece of my own. They're not just somebody else's words. They're actually my words. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about surprise or mystery or risk or adventure, it's getting behind the child's eyes and seeing the world newly. And the brain research shows that novelty and those properties actually drive learning home. So it's even, you know, proven.
Yes.
It's not simply just an idea. It's something that they've tested.
Yes. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.